Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power. Much whiter than snow. There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sin's stains are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
Well, good morning, my friend, and welcome to another edition of Missionary Echoes. I'm Pastor Joel, joining you once again in the studio today. This month, we've been studying the first couple chapters of 1 Corinthians, considering first responses to the cross of Christ and the relation to the Jews' desire for a sign of God's power and the Greeks' desire for more wisdom. Then, in chapter 2, we talked about the wisdom of God revealed through His Spirit to the believers in the early church. Last week, we looked at Paul and Apollos as co-laborers working to establish and strengthen the church. And if you remember, we spoke of them working in God's field, or the human hearts, or consciousness. Today, we're going to go back again to 1 Corinthians, but we're going to go to chapter 3 and look at that second metaphor that Paul uses here in the chapter, the metaphor of building the believers up as a temple of God. Now, I'm naturally interested in buildings and construction, so I'm instantly captivated when Paul talks about this subject. I've worked in the construction industry, and it's just so much fun for me to see all the different parts and pieces be properly joined together and be formed into a home or a building that we can use. You know, for myself, though, the opposite is also true. It can be so frustrating and disappointing to see a poorly designed and carelessly built structure going up, because I know it will be the source of disappointment and frustration for whoever uses the place. Now, when it comes to life, I don't know about you, but I want mine to be properly put together. Yes, I know I'll face problems and disappointments in this life, but is my life founded on something solid that will not fail when problems come? I hope that you'll stay with us as we consider today God's building.
The faith on which you stand is just as strong as its foundation. If it's on the rock, the winds of life won't blow it down. But if it's built upon the sand, when the storm comes, you'll be shaken. looking for a place to stand on solid ground. But if you build your faith before the walls start breaking, build your faith before the earth starts shaking, build your faith before the storm gets out of control. Build your faith upon God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. To those who trust in Him, God gives the calm assurance that whatever comes, His love will always stay secure. So if your hope is getting dim, remember He provides endurance to take you safely through each storm and keep your footing sure. So if you build your faith before the walls start breaking, build your faith before the earth starts shaking. Build your faith before the storm gets out of control. If you build your faith upon God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. Faith before the walls start breaking. Build your faith before the earth starts shaking. Build your faith before the storm gets out of control. Build your faith upon God's foundation, then you'll still be standing when the storm is raging. Build your faith on the Lord and you'll have peace in your soul. The Lord, and you'll have peace in your soul. Build your faith on the Lord, and you'll have peace in your soul.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, that you're a dependable God who's faithful. Lord, I thank you that as we build our lives and as the storms of life come crashing in upon us, that Jesus Christ is a firm foundation who never fails and keeps us strong and secure in the times of storm. Lord, you see the listener today. You see those that are perhaps going through pain, those who are going through loss. Pray that you would be with them. May they find you to be the source of strength and healing and help that they need even now. Lord, I pray that your will would be accomplished. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. Now, coming up on April 8th and 9th, that would be the Saturday before and Easter Sunday, we have a special musical program. It's entitled He's Alive, a dramatic presentation of the story of Christ's death and resurrection. That'll be held at the church at 2127 Hill Street on April 8th at 6 o'clock p.m. And then Easter Sunday morning, April 9th, at 9:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. I hope you will join us as we celebrate our risen Lord. But if you're not able to attend in person, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of our services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
Lord, I want to praise you. To raise you.
with a heart that's true and a walk that's right, living holy, meek and lowly, giving glory in your sight. Lord, I want to praise you with my life.
In all I do, may the world see you and less of me each day.
Our scripture reading for today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to break in at verse number 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth up thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and you're Christ's, and Christ is God's. Today, let's look at God's building. Here we're reminded again that we're God's husbandry, or as we talked about last week, God's field, the place where God is growing and establishing his church. But we see here that Paul adds a new metaphor. This metaphor is that we're God's building. Paul talks about himself as a wise master builder who laid a foundation according to the grace of God, and another, or Apollos, built upon that foundation. Paul's concern for the church here in Corinth is that everyone needs to heed or be careful in how they're building upon this foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ, for it's through salvation and faith in Christ that the church will truly grow and the kingdom of God advanced. First, let's consider the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation of the church. It is through Christ's blood that men are saved, and upon his death and resurrection, that the fundamental beliefs or structure of Christianity stand. As Paul mentions in chapter 2, he did not come to the Corinthians speaking great words of wisdom with great power, but Paul came to them in weakness and in fear. But the power of God was contained in the words that he said to them, and their souls were saved not because of his brilliance, but because of the grace of God. So to people looking for wisdom and power, Paul came in weakness, in simple obedience, and God did what Paul could not. As we mentioned last week, Apollos came along as a co-laborer with Paul, and was used mightily by God to strengthen the believers, to share the message of the gospel with even more in this city. Under Apollos' ministry, the church had grown and been maintained and strengthened, but these relatively new Christians still had much growth that needed to happen in their lives. Paul here is warning the church that they should take care to anchor their lives and beliefs upon Christ and not trust in another or get their eyes off of Christ. For just as a foundation gives the support needed for a building to stand firm in the storms when the elements beat down upon it, we too, as spiritual beings, need a spiritual foundation that will stand the test of time and trials in this life. Paul warns the church that they must not leave this crucial foundation of Jesus Christ, their Savior, and begin following earthly leaders or get their eyes on people, relying on their own strength. The foundation for all Christians must be Christ, and there is no other foundation that will stand the test of time, spiritually, and prove sufficient when we stand before God on the day of judgment. If Christ is not your Redeemer, having saved you from your sins, the day of God's judgment will find you in desperate trouble. Today is the day for you to be established on a new, strong foundation. Second, let's consider the framework. Paul mentions in verse 12 that, "Now if any man builds upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, or proven, for the day shall declare it." You know, if the foundation is Christ, it will be tried and found sufficient. Or if not, it will be found wanting. And the framework built upon the foundation will also be tested. The first three building materials Paul mentions here are far superior to the second three, and they speak of something far more beautiful, valuable, and enduring than what could be had in a building made with wood, hay, or stubble. Again, Paul is speaking in a metaphor here, reminding us that there are things in this life that we can spend our time pursuing that will someday be gone. And if it's all we ever live for, we will ultimately be left disappointed and empty-handed. Whenever you go about building a new house or another structure, you must take many different considerations for it to be a lasting, usable building. You know, building codes exist right here in town, because in the past, people have built buildings that are unsafe for occupation and may even be a threat to those inside and those around them. Sometimes it's a poor foundation that will crumble and cause the building to collapse. Other times, it's faulty materials that were used or improper use of the materials that can result in a dangerous building. In the years I spent remodeling and working in many different houses, the difference between a careful builder and a reckless one was easy to spot. If the framework of the building was improperly designed and carelessly put together, we would need to replace it to properly fix the problem. You know, when it comes to our lives, how are we building? Are our priorities correct? Are we building towards something that will last and not leave us ultimately disappointed? I know there's a lot of material things in this life that can be had, and I have my share of material things, but if that's my priority, if that's where my joy and my hope is placed, I'm going to be disappointed someday. To anyone who cares about the end of their life and where they end up and what God will say about their work, Paul's words here will be welcomed. To those relatively new believers in Corinth, Paul is challenging them to build carefully with things that will last. And Paul warns that their work will be tried by fire, and the things without value in the eyes of God will ultimately be destroyed. But the things that are pleasing to God and that matter are things of true value that will bring to the builder a great reward. This reminds me of something that happened roughly 30 years ago. You see, we were living across the road from a property that my grandfather owned that we were remodeling. It was an old Victorian-style house that had been gutted, and just the shell of the house remained, the wood siding and the framing within. The one night, though, an electric line that came into the building rubbed on the corner of the house. We didn't realize it, but during the night, it started arcing and started the building on fire. My dad awoke to see an orange glow across the street and ran down to see the house and totally engulfed in flame. In a matter of about 10 to 15 minutes, that three-story house, elegant and quite large, was a roaring inferno. And within half an hour, the burning embers had all fallen into the foundation. Almost nothing remained. The structure and the wood had been sound, but when the fire came, it engulfed everything, and there was nothing to keep it from burning. They had worked in the house for months and months, but it was a good reminder for us that sometimes a thing you've put a lot of effort in, a lot of work into, can be gone in just a matter of minutes. Third, let's consider the inhabitant of the building. In verse 16, Paul reminds the Corinthians that the Spirit of God is to be the inhabitant of their building. He reminds them that they are to be the temple of God, that no longer God dwells in an earthly building, but wishes to dwell within the heart and soul of each believer. That means we will stand before God responsible for what we've done with our body, for the thoughts that we've allowed to dwell in us, the way we have used our time, even the attitudes we had toward God and others. Also, in our relationship with Christ, what priority does he hold? Paul reminds them that when the believer defiles their earthly body through sin, it is as if they're corrupting or marring or destroying the temple of God. And as such, this person is standing in danger of God's judgment and punishment. Paul once again reminds the Corinthians that the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. In other words, God sees right through the craftiness or the plans of the evil. Those who think they're wise in this world, there's nothing hidden from God. There's no one who can escape his judgment through their own merit or their own ability. Once again, the foundation that the Christian stands upon is Jesus Christ, and their salvation is obtained through his sacrifice. Anything else will be destroyed and ultimately bring great disappointment and ruin upon the one who's trusted in their own goodness. And so, my friend, we see that in this world, as we live, and in a sense as we're building our lives through daily choices and actions, we're either working toward and building a life out of things that will last or things that will be destroyed. God has provided each and every one of us with the things we need to build a life that is pleasing in his sight, one that is anchored firmly upon Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord. And also through obedience to his word, we can build with the gold, silver, and precious stones that are contained therein. Without Christ as our sure foundation, we're without hope and will face destruction. But as we live and heed God's word and live in obedience to it, we can build and prepare for eternal life in Christ. My friend, may our lives be found pleasing in the sight of God.
With eternity's values in view, Lord, with eternity's values in view, may I do each day's work.
Well, our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you have a question about how to be saved or on a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. Please stop by today during regular service times at 10:30 this morning or at 6:30 tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment. The number to call is 717-273-3690, or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We're a church of just ordinary people who have found Jesus to be the answer, the hope, and help of all who seek Him. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a blessed week as you work on your spiritual building.
Jesus was a carpenter a long time ago. Joseph taught him all the things he needed to know. Up straight and strong, working on the shores of Galilee. He learned to use a hammer and he learned to drive a nail. And when he started building, it served him mighty well. 'Cause he started on a building that stretched from sky to sky and sea to sea.
Jesus is the master builder. He built his church upon a rock. He built it on a firm foundation. And the work will never stop. Jesus is a master builder. He takes the old and makes it new. He can take a life of sin, make it clean and pure again.
He's back in heaven and he's building once again. He's working on the city called the New Jerusalem. He sets on 12 foundations according to the master builder's plan. The streets are lined with mansions for the saints to move right in. When he's finished building, he'll come back again to take us to that city fashioned by the master builder's hand.
Jesus is the master builder.
He built his church upon a rock. He built it on a firm foundation. And the work will never stop. Jesus is the master builder. Takes the old and makes it new. He can take a life of sin, make it clean and pure again. He can make a brand new you.
Jesus is the master builder.
He built his church upon a rock. He built it on a firm foundation. The work will never stop. Jesus is the master builder. He takes the old and makes it new. He can take a life of sin, make it clean and pure again.
Jesus
is the master.